Hi, everybody. I'm Billy Morgan. Welcome to this edition of the Harding Sports Network podcast. Today, I'll be joined by Harding University Assistant Athletic Director for Sports Information, Scott Goode. We will look back at a special moment in Bison football history that occurred almost 10 years ago in a game of the Bison's opponent for the opener this weekend, the East Central Tigers. We will also visit with Harding University Associate Athletic Trainer, Lacey Rush. But first, here's Scott Goode with a preview of the upcoming Harding sports schedule.
Thanks, Billy. We will get started on Thursday with women's soccer and men's soccer both in action on the road. Women's soccer will be at Texas Tyler. The men's soccer team will be at Christian Brothers. And then on Friday, the volleyball team starts their season in Topeka, Kansas. They'll take on Rockhurst and Washburn. Washburn is the host of that tournament. They'll play Friday. And then on Saturday, they play Northern State and Cameron. Three of those four teams enter the season ranked, as do the Lady Bisons come into the season nationally ranked. Also on Saturday, women's soccer will have its home opener against Texas Women's, and the men's soccer team will be at Union in Jackson, Tennessee. And that evening, the football team will open its season at home at 6 o'clock, First Security Stadium versus East Central.
And for coverage links for all of those events, visit HardingSports.com. This will be a 62-yard attempt. 6 seconds left in the half, and we've said all year he has been such a weapon. Finley to hold it. Placement is down. Kick is away.
It's good! All right!
Eddie Carmona from 62 yards, and that might have been good from 70. That was November 5th, 2011. The 62-yard field goal from Eddie Carmona is the longest in Harding history. It broke the previous record set by Brent Goodwin, the longest field goal before Carmona's. That was 54 yards, and Brent actually did that twice in the 1990 season, one in Searcy that year against UCA, the other in Durant against Southeastern Oklahoma State. Scott, what are your memories from that long field goal on a sunny but windy day in Ada right before halftime?
Yeah, if I could take the fans back, if you've ever been to Ada, Oklahoma, most days in Ada are super windy. And that day, the box score listed the wind at 20 to 25 miles an hour. And I think by the time Eddie kicked that field goal right before halftime, there may have been gusts that were even higher than that. But I just remember Eddie was a left-footed kicker. He had transferred here in 2011 from UCA. He was a senior transfer, so he only had one season, but he made the most of that one season. He was 10 of 13 that year. He made 77% of his field goals, which is still the school record. That was the fifth longest field goal in Division II history. If you're wondering, the record is 67 from a guy named Tom Odell from Fort Hays State back in 1988. But the field goal came after the Bisons got the ball at their own 20-yard line with only 38 seconds left to go. And they didn't have to drive it too far to get in Eddie Carmona range with a 30-mile-an-hour wind at his back. So they, in those 38 seconds, they advanced to the East Central 45, and then right before, as time was running out, right before the first half was over, Eddie kicked the 62-yarder. It felt like it was in the air for 10 seconds, and it had some long hang time. He had two long ones earlier in the season, too. He'd made a 52-yarder and a 50-yarder. So Eddie was he was a great kicker for the Bisons in that one year. We were lucky to have him.
It was a windy day. It wasn't particularly an easy day for kickers. Both kickers missed an extra point. Both kickers missed a field goal, and Eddie hit it well.
Yeah, he kicked it. He kicked it good. Even with a wind behind you, 62 yards is a long way. You can barely see the field goal at the end of the goalpost at the end of the field from 62 yards away.
And Eddie Carmona was also the punter for the Bisons that year. And in that game, he had a 73-yard punt against East Central, and that is still good for fourth on the list of the longest punts in school history.
Yeah, on games like that, when the wind is blowing like that, it's possible that you have the longest punt in school history and the shortest punt in school history, depending on which direction you're facing. And I remember the field goal attempts going the other direction, mm-hmm, with the wind blowing in their face. It was just like The ball was up in the air, and then it hit a wall and just fell straight down. So there were a couple of field goals that looked like that. It was a great day for a kicker if you're facing the right direction, and a nightmare if you're going the other way.
You mentioned Eddie Carmona, left-footed kicker. Yeah. After Harding, he would go and join the Oakland Raiders. You remember a guy by the name of Sebastian Janikowski was also a left-footed kicker, and he was there at the same time with him.
Yeah, that's what the Raiders wanted. They wanted two left-footed kickers in camp, and Sebastian Janikowski had been around for forever. Yeah, he's a big left-footed kicker, and so they wanted all of their special team stuff to look the same. And so when Janikowski wasn't kicking, then Eddie Carmona would come in and he would handle the kicking duties. But that way everything looked the same to all of the players throughout the season. And Janikowski obviously was their guy. He made the team both years, and Eddie did not. But it was a great opportunity for him, and just a lot of fun to watch those preseason games when Eddie got to do the kicking instead of Janikowski.
Now we are delighted to be joined on the Harding Sports Network podcast by Harding University Associate Athletic Trainer Lacey Rush. Lacey, thanks for joining us. How are you today?
I'm good, Billy. Thanks for having me.
Lacey, you are from Arkansas. You graduated from Harding in 2011, and we see you as much as anyone during the athletic season. Tell us about what your day-to-day activities and responsibilities with the training staff, coaches, and student athletes are here at Harding.
Yeah, so I came to Harding in 2007 actually as a sports information major, if that's what the major was then. And then I met Doc Lambeth in the hallway, and he kind of pulled me into athletic training, and the rest is history. So here I am back with sports information. A day-to-day, a normal day for me is a lot of paperwork in the morning, a lot of answering emails, a lot of answering text messages and phone calls from athletes. Sometimes we see some student athletes for rehab and treatment, and all that. You know, you get behind in paperwork when you try to catch up. So in the afternoon is really our busy time where we go to all practices. We set up a couple hours before practice gets started. We tape, we do treatment. We talk to coaches about the injury reports that we're seeing and if kids are getting better. And then we're there for practices in case somebody gets hurt or they need us. So we do 8 hours in the afternoon as well as, you know, the 4 in the morning. So we're pretty 12-hour days. And right now is a busy time in fall with all the fall sports going before school gets started. So
Scott Lacey talked about, I was going to ask her how she got involved in athletic training. She answered that question already.
Yeah, Doc Lambeth stole her away from sports information. That's the truth.
But because of the fact that with sports information and athletic training, we see Lacey so much and work. I talked about her working with the student athletes, with the coaches, and she also has to see people like you and me a lot too.
Yeah, it is a lot of overlap between what we do. I think they get to the games. They may be the only ones that get there earlier than we do. And I have such a great appreciation for Lacey, despite the fact that, you know, I offered her a really good scholarship at one point and she turned it down for athletic training. I've gotten over that a little bit, I really have a great appreciation. You know, she appreciates the hours that we work, and we appreciate, you know, the hard work that she puts in and all those hours, all those days, lots of practices. But I have also seen some of the injuries that she has had to deal with, and I'm glad there are people in this world like her, because I am not one of them. I see somebody go down, and I want to be as far away from it as I can, and I turn around and Lacey's running out there to them to try to help them as quickly as possible. And I just think that's an invaluable type person to have in your organization.
We talked about the communication, Lacey, with you and the media as well. What about the communication with the entire athletic staff? Because I know that you all work so hard together.
We do. I mean, it's a daily communication that we have with each coach that we work with. So all of our athletic trainers are assigned their own sports teams that they're kind of the head of, and so they're involved with that, and we talk with sports information about the injuries before games if somebody's out and they're not going to be available to play.
Lacey, the challenges of 2020, then into the spring last year of 2021, I know there were many of them. The training staff is always so important to a program, and you face long hours traveling while trying to keep everyone healthy and competing, as well as you talked about the long hours being there even for home events and during the week before everyone else gets there. But in a year like we have never seen before, what were the biggest hurdles of making things go smoothly last year?
So COVID definitely taught us a lot, but I think as athletic trainers, we do well adapting and adjusting on the fly. I mean, we never know what our day-to-day is going to look like or our practices are going to look like with injuries and that sort of thing. But with COVID, we as an athletic training group, as far as the conference, as far as the GAC conference, we met every week through the summer trying to put in policies and procedures and protocols for games and for how to sit on the bench and how to, you know, what the visiting team was going to do when they got here and what we were going to help them do when they got here. I think the biggest challenge was trying to get kids on board with letting us know when they were sick. Even if they had a headache that was normal to them, we needed to know. That way we could kind of mitigate the spread of COVID within team meetings or on the floor or things like that. But once we got into the semester, we kind of got into a little bit of a routine with that. But I think the challenges, too, were kind of getting coaches on board to let us go get a kid tested and keep them out until we knew if it was positive or negative result. So at the beginning of the fall semester, we worked with Sports Information and Nathan getting a screening form together that screened their symptoms, and every day each team member would go on there and answer questions, and I think we screened over 34,000 times is what that and that was all last school year. We had no sports in the fall, so we were just screening and testing symptomatically. And in the spring when we started back, we got together as a conference and, you know, made a few testing rules and guidelines. And so in February we started testing everybody that was in season, and then 25% of those that were out of season. And my record, I mean, I have that we tested almost 1,200 times in our office, not through student health, not through Unity, but we also tested more than that. But we saw 1,200 tests come through. I felt like if I got to the office at 8, I was already 3 or 4 hours behind, because I was talking to not just me, but all of our athletic training staff, was talking to the deans about what student athlete was positive and how we were going to contact trace practice and how we were going to contact trace locker rooms. And I just think we did a really good job in our office communicating with the other side of campus, if you will, and with the deans and all of that. So
I know it's a very busy time right now. The athletes have been on campus for weeks. How excited are you just to see our athletes perform now with the season beginning this week?
You know, I got a little emotional. Volleyball had a scrimmage against UCA on Monday, and we had a pretty good amount of football players in there cheering us on, and the Rhodes Reeves was loud again. And going through a season like last year, I got a little tears in my eyes, because it was awesome to be back together, and hopefully going forward we'll have a normal school year. And so we're excited to be on the court, we're excited to be on the field with football going. And I mean, they've been here for 2 weeks, and I know they're ready to hit somebody else. Mm-hmm. And so it's good for the student athletes to hopefully have a normal school year and to be able to play together.
Lacey, it's always great to see you. Thanks for joining us today. But now it's time for some fun with the Fast Five questions for Harding University Associate Athletic Trainer Lacey Rush. And here's Scott.
Okay, Lacey. So we might have a little heads up on this first question, because she talked about having to get to work. But are you a morning person or a night person?
I'm definitely a night person. People would tell you that I hate waking up before the sun.
And that's what you do every day.
Yes.
Okay. What TV sitcom family would you be a member of?
I don't know if, like, the Andy Griffith Show counts as a sitcom, but I would much rather like to go back to simpler times, sitting on the front porch.
You know it was in black and white.
half of it.
Oh, yeah. That's just true. That's true.
The best part was in black and white.
All right. What is your favorite song?
This is a little bit of a loaded question. It's probably any song by Garth Brooks. I am a 90s child, so it's... I want the dance to be played at my funeral. So,
well, let's postpone that as long as possible. If you were a superhero, what would your powers be?
Time travel.
Really?
Yes, I would go anywhere in the past and just be a fly on the wall.
Yeah.
Just to see history happening.
I thought you were going to say healing.
No.
No.
I have that already.
Oh. Fantastic. All right, the last one. If you could go anywhere in the world, where would you go and why?
If I could go anywhere in the world,
yep.
I would probably go
to... Ada, Oklahoma, right?
No.
Oh,
negative.
Gosh.
I would probably go to London.
Okay.
I have a little bit of a... The royal family is my niche, I guess. I enjoy the history and the traditions of the royal family, and that's why I would go to London and look around and hopefully meet the Queen.
Make the guards at Buckingham Palace laugh.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So.
Well, you keep us in stitches, so we appreciate we appreciate that. Thanks so much for being here with us.
Thanks, Scott and Billy.
That's all for this edition of the Harding Sports Network podcast. Special thanks to Nathan Looney, Mark Pryor, Lacey Rush, and Scott Goode. From the Reynolds Center on the campus of Harding University, I'm Billy Morgan. So long, everybody.